This is the Friday, January 22, 2021 version of the Market Analysis segment for Market to Market. Now here to provide insight is one of our regular market analysts, Chris Robinson. Chris, good to see you again.
Good to be here.
That's probably the best way to respond to that question because the mood dramatically changed in 1 week. It even got worse on Friday. You had written a couple of times this week about three-day pulls. Watch these three. I was going to call it the Gilligan's Island three-day tours,
That's right. Given
what happened today, it's not really appropriate to joke about things. This was a dramatic day on Friday. What happened?
Well, we hadn't seen a pullback lasting more than 3 days, really for 8 months, and it's been a tremendous rally. And I'm sure if somebody digs into the charts, they can point out, you know, a day where it was three or four together. But we really had been chugging higher since, you know, the summer lows. And, you know, we also got the last USDA, which was extremely bullish for corn. You know, we were limit bidding corn and then gapped higher. We went and filled that gap this week. That was kind of the first sign that maybe there was nobody left to buy, right? The news is all baked into the pie. And then here on a short week, after a holiday week, after MLK, you know, we had this correction. And, you know, one person's correction is another person's profit-taking. You know, people say profit-taking. I can tell you something. If you were long corn or beans today, you know, it didn't feel very good to watch soybeans break a dollar and corn break as hard as it did. That being said, you know, we were overdue for a correction. We were just getting started for the year. And it just felt to me like, again, we had come so far without a pullback. Now, the next thing that I'm looking for is what's going to happen Sunday night. What we've seen all year long, really since this rally started, is a lot of buying interest in the overnight markets where you've got the Asian and European traders. They bought. This is going to be a test week for them to see if they step in and buy because a lot of people have been waiting to try and buy these breaks. We'll see, you know, but certainly, you know, when we haven't had a correction like this, and it's the old expression, you know, it's kind of a cliche, the market goes up the escalator and corrects down the elevator shaft. Well, today was a perfect example.
Wheat market early in the week was more of a sympathy, seen as a sympathy move. Also, the Russians had kind of pulled back on some of their news when it came to taxes. What do you think was the winner in pulling wheat down so low?
Well, wheat has turned into, you know, it actually had some independent strength. There really isn't, if you look at the USDA numbers, there wasn't anything extremely bullish with that. The market's pretty well supplied worldwide and even here in the U.S. The concern was dryness in Argentina, dryness in Russia. And you've noticed that periodically, you know, the Russians will float that story that they're going to hold back on exports. They get a little blip. And they tend to be the first ones to sell it. And we've yet to see them really put their hands in their pockets. And I think that, you know, the market just came pretty far, pretty fast. You had a nice 2-year high in Kansas City, 2.5-year high. You had 6-year highs in Chicago. And I just think, again, typically wheat is a thinner market than corn and beans anyhow. And the boat was weighted pretty heavily to the buy side. The managed money's long a ton of wheat. They're long Kansas City and Minneapolis. That's going to be interesting to see how they get out of that this week if they need to sell more. But certainly today felt like, you know, wheat became a follower of corn once again.
All right. If you look back 2 weeks, rewind the tape, you'd probably be selling at these prices. So I'll ask you, are you selling any of the contracts right now in wheat?
In wheat, I would say, you know, if these are good prices for you, we're still in relatively good shape, right? You got to look at where we were 3, 4, 5 months ago. And we've had a correction here. I would say this, if you feel like you need to sell it because you're worried that it's going to go, you know, continue to drop lower, I would say you've got to make sure that you take some sort of step to manage the possibility that you're selling into a dip and 4 or 5 months from now, when we have a different story, a different supply and demand, a different weather story, we could be, you know, back where we were again. So if you feel like you missed the top and you need to make a cash sale, that's fine. But I would say make sure that you hold back some money to either look to re-own those on paper because it's just the beginning of the marketing year. Nobody knows if we're really going to have a drought. Nobody knows what's going to happen in South American weather. There's so much up in the air. I think so if you felt like you should have sold, I always tell guys, you know, at the end of the day, you have to make the cash sale. You've got to make the decision. And then how you manage that sale after the sale is really the key.
Mm-hmm. In corn, any market, nobody calls the top. Nobody gets the top. Only one person does. But has the top come for the next, let's say, 2 months in corn?
Well, the next big hurdle is going to be planting intentions, which is the end of March. And typically, if you look at the charts, which is really all we have to go for, it's kind of like driving down the road 100 miles an hour, looking in the rearview mirror. What's happened in the past? Sometimes you're looking in the rearview mirror, and then you miss what's right in front of you. I'm hesitant to say this is the top. It certainly feels like, based on today's action, you know, if you look at new crop especially, new crop corn and new crop beans, new crop corn had a dollar rally, a dollar eight rally. We gave back around 34% of that today. The levels that people look at are 38%, then 50%. So I don't know if the top is quite in or not, but certainly it feels like there might be a little bit more selling pressure. You have to remember, a lot of people bought corn just after that report. They're probably, shouldn't be even trading corn. You got a lot of speculators coming in. They're like, oh, my goodness, this is a great report. We have to buy it. So I think once those people get shook out, then we're going to be back to trading South American weather and the demand. And there's still enough up in the air. I'm not going to sit here and say that's it, the top's in. Certainly, these prices are still worth protecting. You know, when you've got diesel corn at, we've finished the day, you know, still north of 425, 420. That's still not a bad price. You know, I think the concern is that if we make another dive down to that psychological four level. So I would say this. I'd say I'm cautiously bearish that there could be a little bit more downside to go, but I'm sure not in the position where I want to say, okay, that's it, sell everything, and, oh, by the way, reach out and sell 2 or 3 years worth of crop. I think it's too early to do that.
In the bean, I mean, it's the same story in soybeans. There were rains over the weekend in South America. There were discussions, it also throws into corn, that maybe the second corn crop will be planted down there. So weather is what set the table comes Sunday night into Monday. But then what happened?
Today or?
Any of the days, because it was a profit. It was... I think you said it this week. You called it a violent business. Mr. Market is chasing some longs. Is that what happened?
Yeah, it certainly felt like that, especially after the USDA. And then we're still kind of digesting that report. That the surprise from that report was corn. Really, everything that came out with the soybean numbers was kind of light, right in line with what people expected. And then this came down to you've got a record long position for the funds. You've got the commercials that are record short against it. So it's this tug of war now between the commercials and the speculative funds. You also had a lot of buying from the index funds. Those are the funds that, you know, you talked about inflation and the Goldman Sachs index. There are people out there that just buy that index because they want to own commodities because they're worried about inflation. They don't buy and sell. They buy and hold. So all that buying, a lot of buying was done as they rebalanced that because everybody's trying to get in front of this idea that if the government's going to continue with stimulus and low interest rates, we're going to have inflation. So all that money is kind of baked into it. And again, we talked about this before. I'm really interested to see what happens with the European and Asian traders. Mm-hmm. If they come in and continue to buy it, I think that's going to be the first positive sign. But it could be a situation where we've come so far and everybody just, you know what? They go like this, they just sit back and wait. So there may be a little bit more downside to go.
Okay, well, that's interesting you bring it up that way. I want to read you a question that we got via Instagram, and this is from a young producer. This is Christian in Brooklyn, Iowa. He asks, he says, I've sold 1,000 bushels of new crop beans, but what would an analyst suggest to a person like me, young and beginning, that can store all their new crop corn in grain bins? Would they suggest putting a put on those bushels of corn now, or wait till later in the summer during the growing season? You can say corn and beans and or beans for this answer.
Well, I think the market's kind of told you if you've got corn or beans still and you're holding it, I don't know why you wouldn't have sold. Even today, we're a dollar off the highs. If you look at spot soybeans, the March contract from the summer lows to these highs, we had a $6 rally. So now we've had a $5 rally. Are you concerned about the fact that you missed that last dollar? I would say this. If these are good prices, and if you want to move some grain, move some grain. You can always re-own it down the line. You can look for another break. You can go out and buy a cheap call spread, for 3-4 months. You can stay long through whatever happens in June, July, and August. But I think the longer I've been in this business, and I started out as a trader, and then for the past 12 years, I've been working with producers. In my opinion, you cannot beat a good cash sale. You know, and when the market's at these levels, the best levels we've seen in 6 years, even after today's correction, you can't beat a good cash sale. You can always re-own it down the road. But and I was talking to one of my clients the other day. I'm like, when was the last time we made $6 on any hedge? When was the last time we made a dollar on any, you know, move? So I think that the answer to Christian's question, I would say go ahead and if you want to store it, buy yourself a cheap put. You know, that cheap put is there as a guarantee that, okay, if it goes below that price, you've got that covered.
Yep. All right, I got to get to livestock real fast, and then we'll come back to cotton hopefully at the end. Cattle, record red meat production in December, then cattle on feed today. This was all ahead of a cattle on feed report today. What cattle specifically? Let's start there.
Well, cattle is in made a great move even before the cattle on feed report, and it has to do with, you know, the whole supply and demand thing. We got to remember we're coming off of 10-year lows at the bottom of the pandemic, 10-year lows for feeders and fats. That supply chain got completely out of whack. So we've been looking at, you know, a really good kill rate. I think the market is factoring in where we're going to be when restaurants start reopening. That's a huge, huge thing, and I think that's what's really behind this. We're looking ahead to the point in the spring when hopefully everybody's been vaccinated and things go back to normal and you start to get that good demand.
And feeders up $8 on still expensive corn.
Yeah, and the fact that we've been holding up pretty well for feeders despite the expensive corn. So the market's telling you, and you go back and look out to the deferred months. Go look in August and September. Fat cattle, feeder cattle, they all look really, really good. They're all good opportunities. And I just think that that trend looks like it wants to continue to go. And I really think that that's what's driving it. People are concerned about inflation. People are concerned about, if we do go back to normal, there's a lot of pent-up demand. Think of all the people you know that want to go out to dinner. If we can get back to going out to dinner, there's a huge demand right there.
30 seconds on hogs. That, too, is that similar scenario?
Hogs, you got to talk about ASF. ASF, another report this morning. We hadn't had an ASF report coming out of China in 3 months. There was 1,000 head of 1,000 animals that they're going to have to apparently cull. The market didn't like that, obviously, in China, but it is supportive for our lean hog market, and I think you see that especially in the deferred months. Take a look at those. If you're a hog producer, go out and look. June, July, August, those are great prices.
10 seconds on cotton. Are you buying or selling that contract right now?
Sure. If I'm selling it, I'm re-owning it because you talked about the acres war earlier. You know, even with new crop soybeans today, it dropped from 12 to 11. That's still a decision the guy's got to make. Are they want $11 cotton or 80 cent cotton or $11 beans?
Chris Robinson, thank you so much. We'll talk more in Market Plus. That will do it for this installment of the TV show. We will, as we said, talk in Market Plus, so join us there. Find that on our website at markettomarket.org. Now, you can find our show on several social networks, but we want to let you know we still have the email inbox turned on for you. Drop us a line anytime at markettomarket@iowapbs.org. Next week, we'll look at lessons learned from the most recent hemp harvest. Until then, thanks for watching. Have a great week.